Camp Bluegrass Pride is an LGBTQ+ and ally-focused bluegrass music camp from June 21st to 26th in Astoria, Oregon. The camp is a welcoming, inclusive space where musicians of all identities and skill levels can come together to learn, play, and connect. Featuring hands-on workshops, one-on-one instruction, collaborative jam sessions, and nightly concerts in a supportive, community-driven environment. Registration is open now. Learn more at bluegrasspride.net. Hello and welcome to Basic Folk, where we have honest conversations with folk musicians on the bluegrass situation. I'm your host, Cindy House. Well, hello, thank you for joining us today. We are presenting Abraham Alexander and Cassius Culpepper recorded live on the Kayamo Cruise on the podcast today, which is going to be a blast to listen to. So glad you're catching this one. Before we get into that, let's talk about ways that we can stay in touch. I made a New Year's resolution to send newsletters for 2026, and I'll tell you what, I haven't done it, but it is definitely on my list of things to do for this year. So if you want to sign up for our newsletter, you can do so at the link in the show notes, or you can go to basicfolk.com and click on the red sign up for the newsletter button. You can also follow us on social media. I'm going to be honest, I feel like the best bang for your buck is on Instagram at basicfolkpod. But we are also on that handle on Facebook, YouTube, and TikTok. Or you can become a contributing member. That is a great way to stay in touch with Basic Folk because it helps us exist. You can make a contribution at basicfolk.com/donate, or you can find that link in the show notes. We are live at sea aboard Kayamo 2026 with Abraham Alexander and Cassius Culpepper. So these guys had not met prior to this event, but we found a couple of very cool parallels between them. So we decided to interview them together. Plus, we knew it would be more fun to have them both up on stage in front of a live audience, and we were correct. So Abraham, based in Fort Worth, originally from Greece, has had an impressive rise in profile thanks to opportunities from friends like Leon Bridges, Gary Clark Jr., and Adrian Quesada of Black Pumas. Quesada actually worked with Abe on the song Like a Bird, which was nominated for an Oscar for its inclusion in the deeply moving 2023 film Sing Sing. Navy veteran Cassius Culpepper, born and raised in Alexander City, Alabama, grew up singing in the church and learned to play guitar while deployed in Spain. So his deployment actually occurred during the pandemic in 2020. So he was left with nothing to do, nowhere to go. He spent his time learning guitar, drinking plenty of sangria, and playing for his fellow sailors who were also indulging on that sangria. Abe and Cash have a few things in common that we discuss. Their emotive and boisterous singing voices, learning guitar as adults from the same YouTube guy, as it turns out. They both have intense histories with sports and, of course, being very handsome. We introduce our conversation with the two musicians as Handsome Club, as a shout out to handsome people, as well as Lizzie Knows OnlyFans handle at Handsome Lizzie. We ask those guys to speak about their relationship with beauty, and after ensuring them that yes, we were for real in asking that question, they spoke of beauty found in the process of turning pain into something positive and how confidence in yourself is everything. We have some poignant moments and some major laughs that are enhanced by an awesome crowd. Thanks to everyone on board Kayamo for making the first meeting of Handsome Club so successful. We're going to take a listen to a couple of songs, one from Abraham and one from Cash. So we'll start with Abraham Alexander and Adrian Quesada with their song Like a Bird from the Sing Sing original soundtrack. Hey, hey, I give you my word. I try, try, try. Fly like a bird. Fly, fly, fly. I'll give you my word. I
try. Fly like a bird. Fly. I give you my word.
Have faith, what you gonna see? Search for peace, but no one speaks. Burn a bridge till I'm my way. Climb the tree before I pray. Guardian of Eden, heaven and evil, caught in the middle. Someone set me free with wind beneath my wings. I'll give you my word. Try. Fly like a bird. Fly. Give you my word. Try.
And we'll check out Cassius Culpepper, a clip of his song Broken Wing Bird featuring Sierra Ferrell.
Broken Wing Bird, hanging over my windowsill. Gonna love you until you fly away.
A song that I heard reminds me of a girl I know. Before she crashed into the ground below and stopped reaching for
September comes, you will be gone on that southern wind, and I'll be the one crying. This spring's here again, you need a friend, say you're in love, and you'll be the one.
Let's get to our conversation with Abraham Alexander and Cassius Culpepper on Basic Folk.
Hello. Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to Coffee and Conversation with Basic Folk.
Yay.
So my name is Cindy House.
I'm Lizzie No.
We are with the Bluegrass Situation, or BGS, and we are hosts of a podcast called Basic Folk, and we host honest conversations with folk musicians. It's available wherever you get your podcasts, and we have been doing interviews on the ship all week, and you'll be able to find those. They'll be coming out in a few weeks. This is our third year on the boat. We have done interviews with Billy Bragg, Layla McCalla, Ani DeFranco.
Did we really do that?
Yeah, we did it.
Congrats to us. No, it is always such an adventure at sea. And last year we had Mary Gaucher and Jamie Harris up on this stage talking about their show shoes. So it's always a good time. And we're so grateful that y'all woke up early to have honest conversations with us.
Yeah, and we are excited about our conversation today. Do you want to tee it up for everybody?
Okay, the theme today is Handsome Club. And so the guests that I'm, of course, about to introduce are the illustrious, incredibly talented rising stars, Cassius Culpepper and Abraham Alexander. Welcome them out. Welcome to Handsome Club, y'all.
So before we start, we just want to say that everybody on this stage is handsome. It is
correct.
A fact. It's not up for debate.
It's not a debate. It's not a compliment. It's the premise of this interview.
Right.
Got it?
That's right.
Got it?
That's right.
Okay, let's jump right in. Growing up, what did folk or country music mean to each of you? And how has that changed over time? Like, do you think of yourself as folk and country artists now? What do those genre labels mean to you?
Should I go first? Go ahead. I think for me, growing up in Alabama, I didn't really think too much of it. I grew up going to some of the best places for food, the best grocery stores like Piggly Wiggly. And when I, during that time frame, they was playing all kinds of music. They was playing, you know, Hank Sr. They was playing...
At the grocery store.
At the grocery store, okay, while I'm picking up my favorite pork sandwiches and stuff. Hank Sr. and Conway. And at the time, I didn't really think nothing of it. I just thought that's just the music they play. And then when I got into songwriting and stuff like that, be like, how do you know about this music? And because people look at me and be like, why do you like country so much? I'm like, because it was just on all the time where I grew up. I'm sorry, it's just the way it is. So that influenced my songwriting, influenced the way I sing, and not only country and folk, but also gospel and blues, because my family and I grew up in the church. So I didn't think nothing of it until other people started pointing out to me that, like, yeah, hey, why do you like this music? I'm like, well, I don't know, just who I am.
Relatable.
Yeah.
What about you, Abraham? Do you think of yourself as a folk artist?
In the art of it, absolutely. I think folk is the best way to tell stories, you know? And I thought, growing up in Greece, like, I thought all the music that was in America was, like, country songs, you know? And my dad loved Ray Charles. He loved Ray Charles and played him around the house. And yeah, I was just like, okay, that's country music. And so I think folk and country are like storytellers in the greatest form. And so those elements that I really very connected to and feel very grateful to be part of that community. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing like it. And so, yeah.
You're both very emotive, dynamic, and boisterous singers. You know, you have quite a range. How do you relate to your singing voice as a tool for expressing yourself? I can just imagine discovering that huge voice one day and being like, whoa.
What are we going to do with
this? What am I going to do with this?
Yeah, I would try to sing when I first started. You learn how to play the guitar, and like the next thing you do is like you want to sing songs. But I hated my voice. I generally hated the way I sounded. And I think it wasn't until I could look myself in the mirror that I was comfortable with my own voice. Like, it took a really long time. And I think the sort of dynamic range or however you voiced it was just how I truly feel inside. It's like that thing, and I was like, oh, I didn't even know that was there, you know. And so when I write, I'm just, and sing is just how can I best translate this emotion that I'm feeling. And so yeah, I wasn't comfortable with my voice until I was like 25, 26 years old, you know.
That is wild.
It's crazy because you're like 29, right?
Yeah.
Can you rent a car?
You're such a good singer.
What about you, Cash? What's your journey been like of discovering, like, how to tell stories with your voice?
Well, I think kind of just like Abraham, I think I came up not liking my voice because I grew up singing in the church. And you know, everybody in my church, everybody could sing really well. I mean, everybody had like these, all the men had these really nice R&B voices that were just so pretty. And all the women had these amazing Aretha Franklin kind of voices. Everybody could sing. So nobody was like looking at me when I was doing devotion or hymns and stuff. I'm like, wow, Cassia should be a singer. Like, nobody said like, yeah, you should be a singer. It was not that. I couldn't do like the riffs. My voice sounded like one of the deacons at the church. They thought I was like, my voice sounded like I was like, you know, upwards of 80 years old, but I was only 16 years old.
Not
it sounded
a
like I went through some
voice.
Shit. Yeah, so like, nobody, I don't know, nobody ever said Kaz, man, I like your voice. But that time in the church, I think, and also just listening to so many of my favorite soul singers and blues singers, I love the feeling, the way that voices can make you feel, if that makes sense. So I just sing that way. If I don't feel it myself when I'm singing it, I won't sing it. And yeah, just like Abraham, I didn't find my voice until I was in the military over in Spain learning guitar. And my buddies, these grown-ass men, would say to me, like, hey, Cash, we really like your voice. And these men are from, like, out west and down south. And, you know, I didn't really figure out, like, oh, I guess I can kind of sing when these grown-ass men drunk telling me I can sing. So, like, I guess I can sing a little bit. I don't know. Because nobody else in my life did. So I got the confidence from them. And I'm very blessed to have them in my life. I still talk to them to this day. They come to shows and everything.
Both of you, correct me if I'm wrong, are artists who picked up the guitar as adults. And now it's just another seamless part of your artistry. So can you each talk about what your approach was to learning how to accompany yourself? Like, people always say it's easier to learn something as a kid because you don't care if you sound bad at first. So what was that process like? How did you learn to accompany yourself and become, like, your own best accompanist on the guitar?
I had a sports injury. And so I was playing soccer. I know I don't look like it now. I was a lot thinner back then. But I played collegiately, and I tore my ACL, and so my world had just shattered. Yeah. And then my girlfriend at the time straight up looked at me as like, you're depressed. You need to do something with your life and stop moping around. And so she gave me this guitar, and I played nonstop for 16, 18 hours a day. Mm-hmm. I would take my drugs, painkillers.
Yeah, that probably helped.
Yeah. I would take my painkillers that the doctor prescribed.
Thank you so much for clarifying.
Yeah. Let's get that clear. The doctor prescribed them, and then I would play. I would watch. You know, there's this guy named Marty Swartz, who's on YouTube. Shout out to and I would.
Did you guys both learn from the same YouTuber?
Yep.
Did you learn from Marty?
Marty. Yo, Marty hit me up the other day. He saw that I shot him out on an interview.
And you're in touch with him personally?
Yeah.
He's here today.
Is he? No, that is the dog, yo, man.
I met Marty in Nashville randomly. And so I got invited to come out to this, like, cookout. Mm-hmm. And then, like, Jesus, this dude just, like, walked into the room, like, and, like, the crowd split. And I was like, is that Marty Swartz? And it was. And it's like, I don't know. My life just made sense all of a sudden.
People be like, what's your influence on guitar? I'm like, Marty Swartz?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Why do you play like that? I'm like, Marty Swartz.
Marty Swartz?
Yeah. It's.
Oh, my God. The influence.
Yeah. And when you look at him, you're just like, okay, I don't get it, but you would. Seriously, I was just in bed 18 hours, 16 hours. I would play. I would go to sleep for a few and then wake up again because I was hurt. And then that was the process. Mm-hmm. And so, but it wasn't until I was learning how to actually write songs and then finding my voice that it just really made sense. And there was a cohesion and a collaboration between learning how to play and learning how to sing.
Yeah, I feel like I'm about the same way. I mean, I started learning when I was in Rota, Spain during the pandemic. So for me, I got accompanied with my guitar with just a whole bunch of sangria and... Yes.
In Spain.
By the way.
Wow.
Yeah, I was just like Abraham. I stayed in my room and drank sangria and... I drank a lot during that period when I was learning, honestly. I didn't know what the world was doing. We was trapped, and I was overseas. I wasn't in my family, so I leaned back on something that always made me feel good, which was music. And my buddy found a guitar for me in the barracks while I was over there, and I was like, man, I guess I start learning guitar now. I ain't got nothing else to do. And Also, I thought the world was going to end. And most of the time in most movies and old-time TV shows, I feel like the musician always comes out on top because they, in any post-apocalyptic world, they need some entertainment. So I was like, you know, randomly my currency comes is going to be entertainment in this post-apocalyptic world. So I was like, I need to get the learning real quick.
But you're black, so you would have been killed first.
That's why we play guitar.
I was thinking about that too.
When your days are numbered, you learn a little trade.
But I think that would have kept me around just because I had guitar. So I was like, this is nice. I'm sorry.
All right, so we went over the voice, we went over the guitar. So let's talk about the songwriting. So for each of you, what was the impetus for you to write your first song? And then where does that original inspiration reside in you still?
I got invited to the sessions of Leon Bridges' Coming Home.
Who?
And
I don't know her.
You didn't know that?
No,
I'm just kidding. No, what a legendary moment.
We're just jokesters over here. Leon Bridges, the best.
Being in that room of incredible musicians, and it felt like a team working towards like a singular goal. And that was my first time ever in a studio. And Leon and I became really close friends. And he's just like, start doing open mics and write songs and see what happens. And just that encouragement. And sure enough, I went home and would write a song and then the next day try to find like an open mic. Mm. And I did that for a good 2 years, every single day. Just go in, write a song, the next day find an open mic. If there wasn't an open mic, I would knock on someone's door and like, you know, find something. I would be at a bar or something like that, or a Potbelly's like sandwich shop, and I'm playing. Like back in the day, they would.
And they'd feed you.
And they would feed you. That was it. It wasn't like, hey, let me pay you money. It's like, nah, here's a sandwich. And that was how I sharpened the craft. And it was like the most freeing experience ever. I felt like I had so much that I wanted to give and so much that I wanted to say, but I wanted to learn how to say it. Mm. And I knew there was a process to that, but I wasn't familiar yet. But Leon was a big inspiration to pushing me towards that direction.
Songwriting for me came during a period when I was, back in like 23 when I had been in the cover band scene for a minute. And I don't know, I started distancing myself from people in my life and my family. And I had been out the military for about a year. And I didn't like the, because the military was like, I had been in the military since like, I was 19. Mm. And I got out, you know, 5.5 years later. So my whole early 20s was just the military life. So when I got out, even though I was doing music, I just didn't know how to cope that well without being away from what I was so familiar with. Mm. You know, I was drinking a lot, and I was just doing cover band stuff. And I didn't know where my life was going, and I was dissing myself from people. And somebody told me I need to start journaling and shit. Mm. A friend of mine, she's like, just start journaling. I was like, I don't know about all that. But I was like, do you know me? I'm not going to journal. I'm not going to write down my thoughts. But I remember the first song I wrote, I was like, I'm going to be honest with you. I was on a bender. I was on a 3-day, 4-day bender playing cover band shows and doing two-a-day shows.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was bad.
How did you have time to be on a bender? Because physically, like, it's rock and roll, but that is a physically demanding job. That's really intense.
Drugs, man, drugs. Yeah. I'm joking. But prescribed to me, of course. of course. No, I remember writing my first song that I eventually put out, and it was called Out of My Mind. I was dating this girl, and we had broke up, and I was coming back home from this bar I played. My buddy dropped me off. And I was about to journal, and then I just started thinking about what was in my head. And I was like, so I'm going to drink myself blind another Saturday night out in these pines or something like that. And I just started writing it down and voice noting. And then I pretty much wrote the whole song at night, and I woke up, and I had all these papers inside my bed. And I was like, oh, I guess I wrote a song last night. And so that was the beginning of my songwriting stuff. And I just thought like, oh, okay, I guess I guess I can do this. And I decided from that point, I was like, I'm done with cover band scene. I think I'm moving to Nashville and start to learn a craft. And I just kept writing since then. Sorry,
so Out of My Mind was the first song you wrote?
Yeah, that was my first song I wrote.
Jesus. Wow. If I had a start like that, I would also quit my cover band gig. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm excited about this question. You both have intense histories with sports. Cassius was a star football player until your junior year, and then you switched to wrestling, and then round of applause became Alabama's champion wrestler, the state champion.
I know, that's right.
We have a state champion on stage right now. Abraham was a star soccer player as a kid in Greece and then accidentally signed up for the American football team when he started living in Texas. And then he was like, no, I don't want to do this. And then the coach made him do it, and he played all through high school, almost went to college as a football star. So for each of you, how does your athletic side live in tandem with your artistic side? Like, how have they informed each other?
I think for me, I don't know, that time in my life when I was in sports, I was so aggressive. It was so bad. It was a bad time. Mm-hmm. I had so much anger in my life, and I just wanted to take it out on everybody I could hit or wrestle at the time. I don't know. I guess the being able to get through the highs and lows and determination of sports and just being able to get through stuff, the resilience of being able to get through any and everything. I think that's what sports has helped me with my music career. But I don't know. I look at my sports and my music career as two different things, because I had bad anger during my sports career. That's why I was able to win state, because I was just angry at everybody.
Yeah.
Angry at the world, angry at my just everything. But it did teach me just to keep going with things and maybe to help with my discipline, you know. Just like the military do, just helps my discipline, just keeps going.
Yeah, y'all are people that definitely know how to practice and put in the hours.
Yeah.
I didn't have any friends growing up in Greece, and the way that I was able to make friends was by playing sports, or not even friends, but like they would just be around me because we would have to be on the same team, and I was good, or I would make sure that I was good at the sport so that they would have to pick me if they wanted to win.
That's the opposite of what I did.
Yeah. And so I just knew that was the only way that I would have some form of community. And so that carried for me throughout my livelihood. And I thought that was what made me valuable to people, if I was good at a sport. And sometimes my coaches were my biggest mentors because they were father figures for me. And just realizing that I couldn't speak any English when I first came to America. And so my parents signed me up for football, thinking that it was soccer. And then we get the pads and stuff. And I was like, oh, this is American football. No, thank you. No. But just seeing how, once I got into it, that it was all love and they didn't care what you look like, is like you were part of the family and part of the team. And just realizing that love, sports, and music are all universal languages.
Yes.
And they in a way work in tandem, in the way that I'm able to express myself through art or even playing in, like, everyone plays in a different style and they're all art forms in a way. And so in a weird way, it was such an easy transition for me to go from sports to music, because I just wanted to express myself and I wanted people around. I wanted friends.
Okay, we need to talk about the heart of this panel, which is handsomeness. What is the role that handsomeness and beauty have played in your lives? Has it changed over time?
Oh, this is a question for real, for real?
Yeah, for real. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Ladies get these questions all the time.
Yeah. I have to talk about what
Time's
I wear
up.
On stage Wait, all the time.
What's the question again?
What is the role that beauty has played in your life? Like, is it something that matters to you? Is it something that you think impacts how people receive your work? How does handsomeness, like, do you have a relationship with it?
I think beauty is so true to the eye of the beholder.
Yes.
So it's like what beauty means to you is going to mm-hmm. be different than what beauty means to someone else. But it's the self-confidence
yes.
that you have in yourself that I think is attractive for people. And people are gravitated towards individuals who are extremely confident because mm-hmm. they're like, what gives you that strength or what gives you that courage? And so for me, beauty is like when someone is able to take pain that they've experienced and turn it into something positive. Like, I think it's so beautiful. And I think people who are weird, no matter how they look or dress, like, the weirder, the better for me,
yes.
right? Because, and I think that, yeah, just the way you carry yourself, I feel like is the importance. And if you care, yeah.
He worked so better than what I was going to say. I was going to say some dumb ass shit. I had this one girl in like eighth grade, and for the longest time, I just thought I was just ugly, you know? And my whole life, I don't know why.
Is that true?
Yeah, I just thought I was just didn't look that good. But I had this one girl, I asked her to spring fling in eighth grade. And I
Please
remember,
explain what that is.
Spring fling is like, it's like a spring dance. It's almost like a form of just like homecoming dance.
Okay.
It's almost, but it's in the spring. So you got to go around and ask a girl in your school. I got to give her a cute little note.
Oh.
Yeah, this one girl just asked me out. Like, I remember this whole week. I remember it vividly. My mom kept asking me at dinner. I was like, who you going to take to spring fling? I'm like, Mom, I don't know. I'm fucking ugly. I don't know.
Oh.
Or something like that. But this one girl, I remember I was in homeroom and she came up to me and just, you know, just, She left me a little note, just like, hey, you wanted to be my spring fling date. I don't know. It brought this confidence in me. Since that day, I just knew I was that guy.
Oh.
You know, I was like, no, I look great.
Yeah.
I'm that dude.
Yeah.
So like, since then,
yeah.
I've had the confidence just to be like, yo, Jasmine from eighth grade, the baddest girl in school, said she wanted to take me on a spring fling date. So I was like, since then, you know, I've just been
that guy.
I've just
You're
been that
guy
to myself. So I've just been like, I know I'm great. And I hope y'all all can feel that way. I don't know. Because confidence in yourself is everything, you know? And I don't know what role that's played in my life, but I don't know, just confidence in myself.
Yeah, that's great.
Shout I know you all hated that question, but your answers were really
good.
Cute.
Round of applause for our
I'm so sorry.
Up here.
Shout out Jasmine, man. She's actually an RN down in Auburn, Alabama right now. She's great.
She's here today.
I don't think she's here.
Introducing Jasmine.
You should write her a note now.
I should.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to talk about fashion?
Yeah.
Like, what are your fashion inspirations? Where do you turn? Who are your fashion muses?
I look at I love Jesus.
That's right, yes.
I look towards Jesus, whatever Jesus would have done or wore. I don't really have no inspiration with fashion. I mean, man, I don't even know. I just be wearing whatever, honestly. I wish I was somebody that was like big into fashion. Abraham, what do you feel? Abraham is more, he's more locked in than me.
My birthday's July 25th.
Wait.
Whose birthday is it? Come on now. I need a hug. No.
Aww.
Bring it up. I need a hug.
Handsome Club.
Wait, my birthday's in July too. It's 28th.
Oh my God.
Look at us.
Give it up for Abraham Alexander.
Birthday twins.
Birthday twins.
Wait a minute. I'm also.
Oh, y'all need a hug now.
Y'all
need a hug. Y'all need a hug.
Yo.
Katalveselinika? Oh my God, he speaks Greek. Paselene.
Red.
Ay, sto diallo.
What the hell is going on
in
here?
Red.
What the hell?
Oh, man. Okay, so.
I'm not bringing him around any girl that I'm with. Yeah. He's just going to start, he's just gonna start speaking Greek, man. I don't like that.
You got to keep your eye on him.
I don't like that at all. I don't like that.
So what I was saying before I started giving out hugs, my birthday's July 25th. My brother, who's 3 years older than me, is July 23rd. And so we'd share the same cake for, nah, I hated it because I wanted my own cake. But then I would get his hand-me-downs. I would get his clothes and he would get something new. And so I was like, you know, I was the middle child and would hate that. But I would say, you know what? I would make my hand-me-downs look better used than he wore when it was new.
I know, that's right.
And so that's how it started. I would just look at different magazines and would be like, okay, how can I style this? And my mom also used to say, like, you know, the way you dressed is the way people are going to address you.
And damn.
And so
man, speaking bars.
Mama used to say the way you dress is how people address you. And that changed sort of this light bulb for me that, and again, it's like part of that confidence aspect of it, you know, and that's how it started. It was all from jealousy.
Wow. It's that competitive spirit.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Abraham, about a year ago, you were actually supposed to be here on Kayamo, but your song Like a Bird from the film Sing Sing was nominated for an Oscar. That's right. So you went to the Oscars.
I went to the Oscars.
Instead of coming on Kayama. So we're so glad you're here today. But how did you want to represent yourself, your song, and the film at the Oscars? Do you think that you were able to do that?
I just wanted, yes. I wanted to be the sharpest man at the red carpet. And I think I succeeded.
You know who agreed? GQ agreed. Best dressed at the Oscars.
GQ, yeah. GQ said best man at the Oscars. So, yeah, it was such a phenomenal day. And my parents came out, and it was, like, so beautiful to see them. And all their friends were hitting them up. And it's like, yeah, I look amazing. It's like, great. Abraham dressed us.
Aw.
Yeah, yeah, I did. I got to be a stylist for my folks, but...
Oh my gosh, if you come back to Kayamo, maybe you should do, like, fashion consulting.
Wow, I like that.
All right, yeah, six man. Yeah, yeah.
I like that.
Here we go.
Handsome Club's taking over the ship. That's just a rumor I heard.
That's right.
It's a rumor I heard.
Yeah, but it was such a phenomenal night just to be there, and the way the song came about and for it to be in the film was such an organic process. And so to be there and celebrating amongst everyone for the film Sing Sing and the person whose film was sort of adapted on was in prison just a few years ago. And so to go from prison to the Oscars and seeing his joy and seeing his life and asking him questions like, would you change anything? He's like, I'm at the Oscars, you know? It's like, I ain't changing shit, you know?
I was at after party, though. Yeah. The Oscars after party. We need to know about that.
Oscars after party.
Oscars after party.
Set the scene.
I'm trying to look. Okay.
Trying to remember?
No, I know exactly what happened. I go to a Jay-Z after party.
No.
Wow.
At the Chateau Marmont.
What?
And, and there's a space at the bottom of the, which I had no idea. It's like basement, like spot. Nothing crazy. And you couldn't have your phones though. It was like, no, ooh. Like, yeah. And so we're in there and there goes Beyonce. And Kelly Rowland.
Kelly? What about Michelle?
And No.
No, Michelle wasn't there.
And Jeff Bezos. And yeah,
took
I mean,
turn.
Questlove was DJing. I mean, I could go on and on and on. It was incredible. Marty Schwartz, unfortunately, was not there. He should have been though.
He should have been.
He should have been.
He's changed the lives of so many musicians,
so many
and artists.
Yeah.
But he's here today.
How many musicians do you think Marty Schwartz?
Dude, millions, man. I was like blushing when he texted me. And I was like, oh my God, he's texting me. He knows who I am.
Yeah.
Just a couple more questions for Abraham. You are, so I don't know if we're allowed to talk about this.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
Just stop me if we're not.
We wrote the question already, so let's go.
So you're working on getting your next record ready, and
yes.
I hear that a certain Sing Sing actor is making an appearance.
Yes.
Scoop.
Yes.
Great. Next.
Thank you so much.
No. You know what? Yeah. Like, let's talk about it. Yeah. So I wrote this piece and the album for me. I just rekindled my relationship with my birth dad, and now it's one of the most beautiful relationships that I have in my life.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And so we speak, you know, at least once a week. You know, it's sort of went from not speaking for a few decades to like speaking every single week. And we took a trip to Greece, and I'm the same age as he was when he had us, like in Greece. And he's telling us how his perspective was when we were growing up there and the things that we lacked, and just started just writing down his thoughts. And I wrote this narrative piece about what the album is about. And I just knew that I wanted someone with some gravity to say those words. And yeah, we have Coleman Domingo narrating the words on the album.
Oh
yeah.
My God. Wow. Yeah, give it up.
No one knows this. There's literally just
huge scoop.
Yeah. There you go.
Breaking news.
We cannot wait to hear it. Cassius, I have a question about your inspiration and how it has shifted over the years. You were a firefighter. You had aspirations to be an ER nurse. You served in the military. You have always had this thread of service in your life. And so I wonder how that's showing up for you nowadays as a full-time musician. Like, do you feel like that heart of service is still a part of what you do as a touring musician?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I grew up with just a great, wholesome mama. Yeah. My mom was just one of the best human beings I've known. She's alive, but she's just one of the best humans that I know. No matter where she went to, she always wanted to bring a smile to people. And my mom used to, every Friday and Saturday night, she used to buy these comedy movies and, you know, order pizza or whatever. She just loved making people feel happy, from movies to food. And I think that's translated to me. She always just like, you know, smile no matter who you're talking to, because you don't know what they got going on, or just be nice to people. And because you just never know what they got going on. So that translates to me and my personality, is that I always like to take care of people. I don't know. It's just always, I want to make sure that people are happy around me. And when it came to my career, I always leaned towards careers that was just, I was helping somebody, you know, helping them in their worst days, whether it be from the fire service as EMT or join the military and, you know, building houses for people out in the middle of nowhere to make them feel happy. And then, you know, being a musician, translating my passion for music and sharing to other people, it seemed like it just made them happy. For a long time, I didn't know what I was going to do with my life, but for now, I know for sure it's been really cool to be a musician and write songs that connect with people and just make them happy. Mm. I just feel like life is just so, if I just stop thinking about myself and just start thinking about other people, life is a little bit better. Instead of just thinking about myself all the time, you know? So, yeah. Thank you. So music lets me do that.
This is a question for both of you. You have had some great collaborations with some highly esteemed musical colleagues. Abraham with Leon Bridges, Adrian Quesada, Cassius with Natalie Hemby, Sierra Farrell. Can you talk about what it means to work with such elite musicians in terms of like raising up your game as a performer?
I don't know. Like I just love people who love what they do, right? And when they're great, but good people, I think for me, like, it's so inspiring. And when they have something to say and something to talk about, was that is something that inspires me. And I just want to emulate that spirit of giving and love. Like, there are a lot of great people who are assholes, if I can say that on here.
And you can.
Yeah. And to, like,
name names.
Name them, shame them. Just kidding. No, but you're right. There's plenty of people who have a skill, and then to meet them in person is
right. And
so, is a disappointment.
Yeah, and so that thing of where there's a combination of you being great, but also you being kind, to me, is just like, that's what I want to do, and I want to show kindness and love, because all that is energy, and people can feel it mm-hmm. within the songs and the tunes. And so, you know, like, I got to do a song with Mavis Staples, and like, thank you. She is a force of nature, like, mm-hmm. you know, and 80 some years old and still has that power and that zeal. And it's like, this is what I'm talking about. Like, I want that. So I want to continue to work with people, not just because, oh, that name is like popping, right? Mm-hmm. I want to work with people that have something to say and have inserted something within this world of music, and that something is love, and that something is togetherness. And so that's what I want to raise the bar and do that for other people who are coming behind me or alongside me. So
I know that's right. Okay, I want to talk about Broken Wing Bird. Can you just give us a little insight on how that duet came together with Sierra?
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I was about to talk about collaborations.
Yes.
just like Abraham with collaborations, I only deal with folks that are real and that who I actually like. I don't really look at a person just because they got a name and think that they can make me better than who I am. Mm. Because really, you really can't. I mean, you spend so much time thinking that somebody can make you better or this and that, but at the end of the day, everything that makes you better is like within yourself. Mm. So I just look at folks that I really want to be with, not because they got a name or they could get me someplace. But talking about Broken Wing Bird is that I wrote this one song, and I'm a huge fan of Willie Nelson and old school country, and I wanted to write a song that I could just pick on a back porch, you know my age till I'm dead or whatever. I just wanted something I could just really feel and make me feel like I'm at home, just like the Willie Nelson record. So I wrote a song called Broken Wing Bird, and I wanted to be a duet. And I was at the Marcus King revival not too long after I wrote the song, and I knew I wanted for it to be a duet. And I came across this one girl that I love so much. I'm a big fan of Ray LaMontagne, and she was on a record with him called Born to Love. And I was making marshmallows. I was making s'mores at this campfire. And this girl named Sierra Farrah just walked down. She's like, "You mind if I sit down beside you?" I was like, yeah, you can. I don't think she knew that I knew who she was, but I was like freaking out in my head. And I was like, "You want one of these s'mores or something?" She's like, "Yeah, let me get a stick." So I like put it on for her, got a little marshmallow, little s'mores and chocolate, and we was just roasting stuff. And we just got to talking. We ended up exchanging numbers. We had a great time. Was out there for maybe about two hours. And I literally DM'd her the following week and was like, "Hey, do you mind singing on this song?" I sent it to her, and my team sent it to her. And she was like, "Yeah, I would love to." And she came over, she sung it, and I was like, "Jesus Christ, this is fucking money, dog."
Absolutely.
I was like, "This is fucking here, team."
No, it's an iconic duet. It's so great.
I was like, "This shit is hard." Because I don't know. You know, so much, like, so many people, like, because my music is all over the place, and I'm like, "Is he country? Is he not?" And I was like, "Bro, this is the most countryest song that you can ever find. And I hope people like it because I love it." And yeah.
It's amazing.
Awesome song.
I have one last question about your songwriting and how it relates to each of you as a real person. You both released debut albums that were full of really poignant and personal storytelling about your real lives. And so that autobiography element is something that maybe will follow you around? Do you ever feel like you need to protect yourself or protect the real stories of your life?
No.
Sick.
Yeah, because the things that we go through, I've learned, are not just for me alone, right? I think to share and for someone else to feel like they're not also alone, you know? And I lost my brother. He was killed in 2017, was robbed and killed. And I didn't talk because I sort of the first time again that I'm experiencing loss since I lost my mom. And I didn't talk, and I was adopted, which, long story, if you come to the show tonight, I might talk about that. But they're sort of grieving as well for losing a son and then trying to figure out if I'm okay because I haven't said a word. I mean, I've been silent for a week and a half, like haven't said one single word. And then I'd come down and I'm playing this song to them, and I wrote for my brother Xavier. And then they started crying, and they're like, this is, I was like, I didn't know what to say. Like, I think losing your mother is hard, but also losing a younger brother, someone that you feel like I should be protecting and have my wing over, and I wasn't there for him. And so I didn't have the words to adequately express how I was feeling or to be there and help my parents grieve through their first loss. And so playing that song helped them understand how I was feeling, and for them to also share that they've been feeling the exact same way as well. And then going to shows, people who have lost their mom or lost their brother, like, we're not all a monolith, but there's certain elements to life that we all experience together. And if I hold on to that, then I feel like I rob someone of their ability to heal if I don't share it. Right. And so, no, I'm an open book. I have to go and sort of be a hermit, you know, after doing that. But no, I want to, when I'm long gone, I want someone 100 years from now, hopefully, if
the songs never, will last, there's not an if. Yeah,
thank
go
you.
On.
Thank you. And so, I want someone to pick it up who has no idea who I am, but love the album art. Right. And then listen to the songs and just cry. Like, I have that picture in my mind, and that can only happen if I'm brave enough to be vulnerable. So
everybody go to the merch shop, get yourself a copy of Seasons by Abraham Alexander.
Yes.
Yeah. Man, bro, I'm about to start crying.
I think what's, man, I've learned that, especially my songwriting and stuff, you know, the deeper you go, the more it connects with people. The more vulnerable you are, the more it connects. I mean, I don't know. I feel like most of us all in this room, we went through some shit in our lives, shit that's kind of fucked up. And the way we was raised was may have been fucked up. People treated you bad growing up or something like that. And being able to talk about that through songwriting, or the good times and the bad times and up and downs. And I just feel like if you just talk about it, it's just so cool to see other people understand where you're coming from, and they connect with you so well because they went through the same stuff. And that's just something that I am, that I do with my songwriting. I just be as real as possible, you know, whether it be about my Southern roots, about, you know, like my dad wasn't around, or I had these great friends that smoked weed all the time. I talk about that. Or I had a girl that fucked me up, and I had a girl that loved me once, or I messed up with a girl, or I did this and that. But just talking about that in like songwriting, it's just, and just being authentic as possible, I think people just connect with it more. And it's so cool. It's so cool when I meet people and it's like, man, I connected with this one lyric. I was like, damn, man, for real? Me too, dog. I went through the same shit. It was like, you too? I was like, yeah. And it's just so cool. I mean, just connect with somebody you ain't even talked to on a, like, a one-on-one, but they heard your music and they're just like, oh, I connect with you because I know exactly what you went through, or I went through this shit. I think it's the most beautiful thing about songwriting and being able to get your songs out there. And I don't know. I think I saw a listener listen to my song 30 times. I went on like this little statistic thing, and you can see where people listen to your songs the most. And this one guy listened to a song I got called Who Hurt You 50 times in a week. And I was like, bro.
Who hurt you?
Are you okay? I was just like, that's so cool, though. He was like in Scandinavia or somewhere. I don't know. But I was just like, man, that's amazing. You know, if he feel like he connects with me and I don't even know him. I ain't even talked to him. And it's so cool, man. I'm sorry, I'm rambling.
No, Act One is a great record. Everybody go get your copy at the merch
Please,
store.
Please, I have kids.
Really?
What'd you say? I have no kids, but...
Big scoop here on Basic
Folk. My future kids. My future kids.
No, it's never too early to start saving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
College is expensive, dog, you know.
Before we do a very fun lightning round, just want to do a couple of Basic Folk announcements. Tonight, in the great outdoors, Lizzie Noh will be performing.
That's correct. It's true. I'll see you there.
Is it at 9 p.m.?
9:30 p.m. at the great outdoors.
Get there at 9, get a good seat. And then tomorrow, we're going to be doing this again with some of our best friends on board. Times are tough right now, and we're going to find out how... some of our favorite songwriters are doing. And
we're going to take the temperature, state of the union with the folk gals.
Trying to find
out
what is a folk song for. And hopefully you'll join us for that.
9 a.m. tomorrow here.
9 a.m. tomorrow. If you enjoyed this, please come back. And it's going to be really fun. Looking forward to that. And thank you again for coming today. And let's do the lightning round.
Are you ready? Don't think too hard. Answer as quickly as possible. Shall we begin?
Yes.
Wait, each time you should switch who goes
first.
Let's make it as complicated as possible.
Great.
For the first question, Cassius will answer first.
Stand up when you answer.
Yeah, stand up.
No, just kidding.
No.
Okay, you want to say them at the same time? That would be fun. Okay. Tour van snack you cannot live without.
Plantain chips.
Wait, what'd you say?
Plantain chips.
Plantain chips.
What do you eat in the van?
Potato salad? Did you say potato salad? Yeah.
That is the craziest answer we've ever gotten to this question. Not a mayonnaise-based salad.
Potato salad?
With a very short shelf life. What are you talking about?
Walmart
are you
potato
crazy?
Salad. Closer potato salad.
Okay. That was really out of pocket. What animal do you want to come back as in your next reincarnation?
Damn. An eagle.
Ooh.
A kangaroo.
If you could compete at the Summer Olympics in any sport, what would you choose?
Skating.
Bobsledding. Ice bobsledding.
Okay. Oh,
these are summer sports that we're talking about.
But we did say answer as quickly as possible.
You can't skate in the summer?
No, you can be all you can be. In Basic Folk, you can choose any sport.
In
the
Navy
summer.
And in Basic Folk.
What is your favorite Bill Withers song?
Grandma's Hands.
Lean on Me.
All right. You're at a diner on the road. It's shaped like a train car. What kind of pie are you ordering?
Cherry pie.
Oh, cherry pie.
Pumpkin pie.
Ooh, pumpkin.
Pumpkin pie.
If you could spend a day hanging on the beach with any country artist, alive or dead, who would it be?
Tracy Chapman.
Oh, that's the answer. Good luck, Cassius.
She'd be fun at the beach, don't you think?
She would be lit at the beach.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah.
Damn, I think Patsy could have a good time.
Yes, that's true.
I think she'd be a good time.
Patsy Cline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice little bikini.
Handsome Club.
Yeah, Paxi, yeah.
She's one of us.
It's the yeah.
Yeah, I want Paxi on that beach. While I'm singing. Crazy. Yeah, girl, sing that one song. Yeah. I like that.
Yes. Okay, and finally, who are some up-and-coming artists you would like to see on Kayamo next year?
Aside from Marty Schwartz.
Yeah.
Hannah Connolly.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hannah Connolly. Hannah Connolly is an incredible singer-songwriter who is also our best friend.
Really?
Nashville-based songwriter. Look her up.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's up and coming, but my music taste is weird. I listen to everything. But there's this one girl named Bella White.
Oh, she's awesome. Oh,
yeah. Jesus.
Yes. Yeah, well, tell us that.
She would also be fun at the beach.
Yeah, she would be.
Yeah.
She sing, would, that, sing that one song.
Sing
that,
that
one song,
song
Bella White.
Sing that one song you like to do all the time, Bella. Come on. Nah, she's great.
Guys, that's it.
That's a handsome club.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for coming. Ashley
Skull Pepper and Abraham Alexander. We'll see you all tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
This episode of Basic Folk was produced by Anthony Cabrera. Dietrich Strauss composes our music. Basic Folk is a production of The Bluegrass Situation. You can find all of our episodes there. You can search for Basic Folk on the SiriusXM app. You can go to folkalley.com or look on Folk Alley's mobile app. You can go to basicfolk.com, or you can find us wherever you find your shows. If you enjoyed this episode, we suggest sharing it with a friend, like maybe your friend Jasmine, who really put it all on the line by asking this one guy out to Spring Fling, and he said yes, and it changed his entire outlook on life, and she has no idea. Maybe, Cash, you should send this episode to Jasmine. All right, we'll talk to you next time. Thanks for listening all the way to the end. Mm-hmm.